I'm Matthew Langdon, and this is a Road Through the Outback podcast. Intro music is Journey by Roa, and you can find that at chozik.com. G'day, Matthew Langdon with you for a Road Through the Outback. Been no podcast for a couple of weeks, of which I apologise. As always, with every podcast, if you've just found me for the first time, put my teeth back in, I just want to let you know that I'm not a pastor. I am not theologically trained in any way, shape or form. I am just an average Joe Blow who sits in the pews every week, or while I serve, but I'm not in leadership. I am just here to share the things that God has shown me and through his word, through time with him, through life. And I just really want to bless someone. So I really hope and pray you get something out of it. Continuing today with my series on the fear of God, the Yoreh of Yahweh. Normally I've been reading from, a paper I wrote, some notes I've got here. This one's going to be a little bit different. Has been a little bit heavy, and I'm fully aware of that. It was a study that really challenged me in so many areas of my life, which is a good thing. When you're walking with the Lord, it's a good thing because it means that you're starting to remove some of the things that keep us from the throne. So I really hope it's been challenging in that way. If you're feeling condemnation, please forgive me. Please seek the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the difference between the condemnation of the devil and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the condemnation of the devil will say to you that with some of this stuff that you're hearing, you're no good for God, you're done, you're finished, what's the point? That's condemnation. Condemnation will make you want to run from God. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will make you go, yes, I need to change that, but I can't do it. Lord, help me. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will lead you back to the throne. So please understand the difference. I don't have my Bible open, I don't have my notes open. This one is just really shooting from the hip, but it's something the Holy Spirit put on my heart a couple of weeks ago with this. I did try and record this a couple of weeks ago. I ended up just redoing the whole thing. So let's get into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really pray that people are getting something out of this, that people are being blessed by it. And if anyone is feeling the condemnation of the devil from this, Holy Spirit, I pray you would work on their hearts and draw them, show them the difference between your conviction and the devil's condemnation. Because there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would draw them to the throne and show them that you are there to help, that Heavenly Father, you want to help them. You want us to draw close to you. Lead us to a relationship with your Son, Jesus. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I don't have my Bible open. I'm literally shooting from the hip. This is something I've been stewing on because I know in my own life with some of my own struggles, this is something that I've tried to think about. Haven't had a great deal of success, I'm going to be honest with you, but it is something I try and think about. David said in one of the Psalms, on the mountain you are there, in the valley you are there. Where can I hide from your omnipresence? It doesn't matter where we are, what we do. It doesn't matter where we go. We can't run from God. We can't. As we listen to nature there in the background, the kookaburras are having a good old song. We can't hide from God. And I may have shared this in a previous podcast, but if you really want to get comfortable with the notion that God is everywhere, have a chat to him when you're in the shower. And the reason I say that, Adam and Eve walked around naked, and it wasn't until that Eve ate the fruit that they realized they were naked. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you want to get comfortable with God, talk to him while you're naked. It's not that he wants to see you naked, but it is an outward expression that everything is exposed. You're completely open. You're not hiding anything. You read right through the Old Testament where there's a number of them tore their clothes, put on sackcloth and ashen. Or some of them, I'm assuming when they said they tore their clothes, that they were completely, they're probably naked. That's my read on that. And again, it's not that God wants to see us naked. He sees that anyway. But it's saying to him that I'm not hiding anything. You know, if we can live, and this is the challenge that I've really set for myself, something I've gone to other brothers and sisters about, is accepting that he's always there. He knows our hearts, he knows our minds, he knows what we're thinking before we think it. Now, that's not to say that sin's excusable, because, well, God already knew what we were going to do. I've heard atheists say, well, if we were predestined, then, that means God predestined people to hell. No, I don't believe that. I still believe it is a choice to say, no, I want nothing to do with God. And Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined, he gives this great story of a great analogy, talks to the ladies, and he says, have you ever been pursued by a guy that you want to know about? And talks about how this guy eventually says, well, I'm going to make you love me. And, that's stalking. That's illegal. God's not going to force anyone into heaven against their will. So it is it's a choice. It's an active choice not to choose Christ. But just because he knows the beginning from the end, he's the author and finisher of their faith, just because he knows the beginning from the end, because he created us, he knows what we're thinking. He knows the decisions we're going to make before we make them. Also, why didn't he stop me doing that really stupid thing? Because that really stupid thing you probably learned from. And I do firmly believe there are those that God sends many, many resources after. I've seen that. There are people I know who I've said to God, why am I associating with this person? We have nothing in common. In fact, I don't even like them. That's, I've got to love them. And that's an argument for another day, so spare me the emails on that. There is a difference between liking someone and loving someone, because love is an action. But I've seen that where I've stayed associated with people who I would normally have nothing to do with. There's the personality clash is too big. But God wants me there, so there I am. God throws resources at people because I believe he knows that they will eventually make that decision. Then there are others who, they're sort of left to their ways, because I believe God knows it wouldn't matter what he threw at them. Their own free will mean they will never choose him. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for people. That's not, please don't misunderstand me. Just because it seems like God's not throwing resources at people, or just because he knows our hearts, that doesn't mean we should stop praying for people. Even if the outward signs all indicate that this person is never going to turn to Christ, they are just outwardly, this will never happen. God can change someone. God can soften hearts. He can harden hearts. You've only got to look at the account of Pharaoh just before the Exodus. So don't stop praying for them, even though it seems outwardly that they're never going to give their life to Christ. Think about a war zone for a moment. And I've heard them call it this in movies, whether it's right or not, I'm not 100% sure. But what I've heard them say is triage on a battlefront. Sometimes those in higher up positions had to make these gut-wrenching decisions and sort of go, we're going to lose 50 men if we don't sacrifice these five. That's really harsh, but that's a reality. And we've got to realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. There's a battle for our minds, our hearts, our time. The times we live in are perilous. The distractions we've got are just unbelievable. I don't know about anyone else, but it feels to me like the days are getting shorter. I go to work now and I just feel like the day flies by. 1 minute it's Monday and it feels like 5 minutes later it's Sunday night and you're getting ready to go back to work. But these are signs of the end times, or were prophesied. So the point of sharing all this, I want you to be aware that irrespective of what is going on, you know, God sees a big picture and he's always there. You read through the Gospels where it says they reasoned in their hearts, meaning they didn't verbalize it, and Jesus was able to perceive. He knows the intents of our hearts. I know God's working on something in me at the moment that even I wasn't aware of. And now that I am aware of it, I am having a bit of a battle dealing with it because of the nature of what it is. But I still need to go to God with it. He doesn't point these things out because he wants to act superior to us. I mean, he is. But he points them out so we can fix it, so we can go back to him and say, "Can you help me, please?" Don't do it with that tone, but you sort of get my point. Jesus knew the intents of their heart, which is why he spoke to them the way he did. It was to get through to them. Because there could be no question that it says they reasoned in their hearts, and then all of a sudden he's talking about it. That's not just coincidence. As I said at the beginning, we can't, doesn't matter what we do, we can't escape. We can't get away from God. The only time we're going to be able to do that is after death. And the problem is that separation, biblically, is a permanent one. It is a permanent holiday from God. But herein lies a problem. That permanent holiday from God, he's a breath of life, so there's no air. He's the bread of life, so there's no food. He who drinks of the living water will never thirst again, so there's no water. Hell's not a party. I don't care what anyone says. My read on separation from God is terrifying. And as I said, right back in one of the first podcasts I did on this series, was I'd rather be pitied by God than be under his wrath and judgment. We need to really live. Like out of that psalm, or now I'm wishing I looked it up. On the mountains you are there, in the valley you are there, where can I hide from your omnipresence? And I think if we live in such a way, knowing that he is always there, and before we act, before we do things, asking ourselves, would this please God? Would this make him happy? If I say this, if I do this, you know, this is, and again, this is, I'm not throwing condemnation at anybody. I'm actually kind of hoping that some of you out there will help me take the speck out of my own eye on this one. I'm not sharing this to judge anybody. I'm sharing this so that we can all, me included, we can all grow in this, understand that nothing we do is hidden. In fact, the Bible says what we do in secret, he'll reward openly. That should be concerning, especially with things like secret sin. And I think if you look at some of the things that have happened with some of the pastors in recent times that have been stood down, is that the manifestation of secret sin? I believe God gives us opportunities, points it out, gives us warnings. I know there was one thing in particular where I had warning shot after warning shot, where eventually I had to, I was actually saying to God, maybe it's time I get exposed, because I couldn't stop. I wanted to and I couldn't. And I was actually saying to God, maybe it's time I get exposed. But if we're struggling with something, honestly, getting to that point yourself means you are serious about change, meaning you will start to get some of the victories because you'll start to turn to God and go, I can't do this, please help me. And guess what? When we do that, he does. Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. So when we turn to him and go, Lord, I can't do this. I need help. I don't know what to do. That still small voice will be there to say, do this, do that, turn that off. Go outside, go for a walk, go for a drive, go for a shower. Go make some lunch. You know, any temptation that comes our way, God says he gives us a way of escape. Meaning, yes, he tests us. He allows us to be tested so that he knows and we know where we're at. Actually, he knows where we're at. Let me Let me walk that statement back. It's so we know where we're at. But the question is, are we listening? I really feel to end this one here. Just a reminder that He is always there. So if we combine that with the fear of the Lord, if we combine that with that knowledge that He's there to guide us, shape us, He's there to be our friend, our helper. You know, we need to ask ourselves in those moments, will this please God? Knowing that He's right here with me now recording this. And I really hope and pray that what I'm saying is, well, that I'm hearing Him and that I'm relaying what He's telling me correctly. That's my prayer. Anyway, on that note, if you want to give your life to Christ, giving your life to Christ is the easy part. Living for Christ, that's the rocky road. Not going to lie to you. The Christian walk is not an easy one. Jesus said Himself, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way. But you know what? It's rewarding. It really is. I wouldn't have it any other way. In fact, I wish I'd gone down this path of some form of ministry a lot sooner than I did. So if you want to give your life to Christ, repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come before You as a sinner and I ask for Your forgiveness. Jesus, I believe and I confess that You are the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, that You died on the cross for my sins, and God, You raised Him from the dead on the third day. Jesus, please cleanse me with Your blood. Take up residence in my heart. I give You my life. I give You myself this day. I repent and renounce my sins. And I ask for Your help to live a life worthy of repentance. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. I really pray you got something out of that. There is a way to get in touch with me. If you can hold on a few seconds here for the outro, there's my email address is in there. Please keep it respectful. If you just want assistance in finding a church in your local area, I'm not going to make promises, but I will see what I can do for you. See if I can point you in the right direction. Other than that, be blessed. Have a great week. And I'll see you next time. Sorry, I've got to stop saying that. You'll hear me next time. I'll catch you next time. Be blessed. Intro and outro music is Journey by Roa, and you can download it from chosic.com. You've been listening to another episode of A Road Through the Outback podcast series. If you'd like to get in touch, share some feedback, or have any questions, please feel free to email me, Matthew Langdon, MatthewLangdon, all one word, at outlook.com. You can also go to my website, aroadthroughtheoutback.com.au. There you'll find resources, links, as well as some of my other creative works. Well, I pray that I've blessed you in some way and that our Heavenly Father has spoken to you through His Holy Spirit. Be blessed, and I'll catch you on the next podcast. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.